Sunday morning to all those out listening in around the nation and around the world today. Welcome back to the Officer Jack McLamb program, coming to you from the High Rocky Mountains of Idaho, USA. Good to be back with you today, folks. This is that old retired cop, Jack McLamb, up here at our two police and military associations today, once again. And fall is here. Praise God, fall is here. The weather's changing, it's getting real nice during the day, and it's getting a little bit cold during the night, but that's to be expected in the fall time. We have very mild weather here, by the way. Winter time, we're very pleased that we don't get a lot of snow, maybe a foot of snow accumulated all winter long, so we're in a very mild area of the Great Rocky Mountains here. Good to be back with you, folks, and today, this morning, we have on with us our dear brother, Reverend Ted Pike. As you probably have already heard, the hate bill passed in the defense authorization bill. The Kennedy, traitor Kennedy, stuck it in there, and it was passed. But we have some very strange things that happened, folks. The conservatives and the Christians allowed it to happen this time. So we've asked Reverend Ted Pike to come on with us and tell us about just what happened. Brother Pike, are you there?
I sure am, Jack. I'm
good,
very,
Brother Pike. Thank you. I'll just turn the microphone over to you, so to speak, brother.
Okay. Yes, Jack. As many of our listeners know, the federal hate bill was going to be attached onto this military appropriations bill when the Senate came back from summer recess, and we at the National Prayer Network have been watching that very closely. In fact, the Senate appropriations bill, the military appropriations bill, actually came before the Senate about, 17 days ago. And at that time, we went on high alert. We were informing all of our listeners on the radio and constituents and readers at truthtellers.org. But we were noticing the response from the religious right was rather pale, rather lackluster, and I have a friend who is quite involved in the religious right, and I'll tell you the results of the poll he took at that time.
Okay, brother, hang on. We're up on our first break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, folks, with Reverend Ted Pike. Be right back.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program on Republic Broadcasting Network, and we have on with us our brother, Reverend Ted Pike, who has single-handedly, folks, led the charge across America for about 4 years now, at least that I know of, against the hate crimes legislation, and we're just honored to have you on, Brother Ted. Go right ahead.
Yes, as I was mentioning before the break, what we were seeing in our calling and polling in the weeks before the final passage of the hate bill was that the zeal, the desire, the energy against the hate bill was dissipating. It was basically falling through. I have a friend who was a director for a large national Christian conservative organization. He knows literally dozens of these leaders of the new right. And he called about 30 of them about two weeks ago and found out that they were lacking in enthusiasm. They were saying that bill can't pass because it's unconstitutional. They were saying their people were tired of calling about the hate bill. But most of all, they were saying that they were just going to let the president go ahead and pass it because it was going to be very difficult to defeat in the Senate, and we might as well let him save freedom of speech for us. So these were very disconcerting and troubling responses he got from many of these right-wing leaders. And also, Dr. Dobson on the radio was not emphasizing that it was up to the people to defeat the hate bill. Rather, he was saying President Bush is such a fine, illustrious defender of freedom and a Christian and evangelical.
Wow.
We can count on him, basically, to do this job for us. And
yeah.
I had a friend who listened to that broadcast several weeks ago, and she said, well, it sounded like there's just no need for any action because President Bush is going to come in there on his white horse and save us from this Orwellian legislation.
Right.
Well, yes, needless to say, our National Prayer Network was on high alert when the Military Arms Appropriations Bill was brought to the floor of the Senate. And in fact, we pretty much were on constant standby watching a C-SPAN to see just as soon as any debate would begin on the hate bill. About 10 days ago, Senator Kennedy suddenly leaped to his feet, and he demanded that the Senate, without even any consideration, go ahead and vote for the hate bill. Uniform consent agreement is what he wanted, and that was repulsed by Senator McCain. So it was that was on a Friday, but the following Monday, the Senate was talking about something else. But on Tuesday morning, the Senate turned its attention to discussion of the hate bill, and around noon on last Tuesday, we're talking about this last week, he again demanded that the hate bill be attached to the arms bill and a vote be immediately taken. Well, that was agreed to by Senator Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. Now, that should have been a signal to literally tens of millions of Christians and conservatives and their leadership to begin immediate calling. I mean, nobody knew when this vote would be taken. They could be taken almost imminently. And so we, of course, sent out e-alerts saying the hate bill is up for a vote and call. But unfortunately, we found from that time on, we're talking about Tuesday morning or midday,
uh-huh.
But very few calls were trickling into Congress.
Yeah.
There were, we're talking about, on Tuesday we found four senators' offices did not even receive a single call, even after Kennedy wanted to vote. And then for the next two days in the Senate, we're talking about from Tuesday midday to Wednesday midday or afternoon, or evening, excuse me, There was not one single senator who stood to his feet to argue against the hate bill. Now, the Senate was open during that two-day period, and anybody who wanted to come to the microphone could speak on any subject they wanted, including the hate bill. Fortunately, on Wednesday evening, just before the final vote was taken on the hate bill, Senator Hatch did get up for a few minutes and gave a very, very good speech. But all of these senators, which we thought were against the hate bill, sat in their seats for 2 days doing absolutely nothing when they had a perfect invitation to stand up and argue against the hate bill.
Yeah.
And Kennedy, Smith, Reid, all of them argued passionately for the hate bill. But as I say, there seems to be a conspiracy of cowardice or silence among the Republicans. Now, during that same time, from Tuesday midday, I say, when Kennedy demanded that the hate bill be attached, for a full 24 hours, there was not a single warning that we could find on the New Right Internet websites calling people to protest against the hate bill. The New Right was absolutely silent. Now, they were receiving my email alerts during this period. We send them to all of them.
Yeah.
Telling them that the hate bill is up for a vote, and there was silence, absolute silence, until literally hours before the evening before the hate bill would be voted on. And sometime on Wednesday afternoon, on the eve of the hate bill vote, suddenly, just when the senators' offices would have been closing on the East Coast or about to be closed, suddenly Dobson and Traditional Values Coalition and the another one, I don't remember the name, they suddenly sprang into action, Family Research Council, excuse me, suddenly sprang into action, calling for millions of votes, calls to come in and so on. But by
when
that time,
it was too late, right?
And then that brings us now to the actual time of the hate bill, final deliberations and vote, which started at 10 o'clock the following morning. Well, by 10 o'clock the following morning, they had demanded a quorum, and all of the hate bill, all of the senators were there on the floor by 10 or 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no possible way, even if we had had a million calls, they could even know about it probably, because they didn't go to their office. They had an early vote. And then immediately,
right.
Immediately on Thursday morning, debate began back and forth. And we did have four Republican senators who gave approximately two-minute talks. But I felt that they were all rather weak in their argumentation. And Senator Hatch did very powerfully speak on two different occasions there on Thursday morning. But finally, it came to an end. And the vote was taken, and the hate bill was passed by a majority of only one vote, which was a vote of 60. They got their total of 60 to 39. Now, something like 10 Republicans voted for the hate bill, but if we had had, we could have had 3 million votes calls coming in on Thursday morning if the new right had been doing their job.
Right.
American Family Association alone can bring in 2 million calls to the Senate. Now, what I'm charging, Jack, is that these new right leaders, both in the Senate and in the religious community, got their heads together with what they thought was a brilliant scheme. I have no proof whether the White House was involved in this, but I do know that we have demonstrable failing on the part of the Senate and the new right at a very crucial period of history. They went silent, visibly and on the Internet. And what I'm
not
saying is that...
Not accidentally either.
Yeah, what they wanted to do, I am charging, and I have articles making these charges at my website, which is truthtellers.org. And at truthtellers.org, I am alleging that they wanted the hate bill to pass. Many of them thought that they couldn't defeat it. It was unstoppable. And why not go along and let it pass, help it along, in fact, in order that George Bush might have this tremendous opportunity to come in onto the stage and veto this hate bill and become again the darling of the religious and political right, restoring his fortunes, restoring his credibility and reputation as a defender of Christian conservative values. And now the big question is hovering over the nation is, will George Bush be true to his promise to veto the hate bill and send it back to the Senate in order to be cut off? Now, people like Senator Kennedy said, well, no president in American history has ever done that, sent an arms appropriations bill back in order to have one amendment of it cut off. So what George Bush is being set up now for is high drama, and all the country, all the religious right and Republicans are looking at it. Will he be true to his word? I think he probably will be true to his word in order to complete this grand scheme and help restore the Republican Party to national favor among families and Christian conservatives and so on who don't want hate laws. I think he probably will. But, of course, there is a chance that he will buckle to the pressure and go ahead and pass the hate bill. And that will be a monumental surprise and disappointment, a shocking reversal of events for the new right. So the new right really can't win either way. Even though he might veto the hate bill, the fact remains that this Orwellian legislation has now attained tremendous prestige as a bill passed by both houses of the U.S. Congress. And even if the hate bill forces do have to wait another year until the next Congress, nevertheless, they know that now the hate bill has gotten over its bad reputation as unpassable legislation. It's been defeated five times in a row. Now it's sanctioned and endorsed by the U.S. Congress, and it will undoubtedly be introduced in the first week of the new Congress and go sailing through.
Yeah, my goodness. I'll tell you, trusting George W. Bush. Now, there's something for the Christian right to trust him. But I'll tell you, brother, if he declares martial law, then King's X is all over. We'll be right back, folks.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Ted Pike, and it sounds like Brother Ted, that the conspirators got together and are left it up to Bush to try to help Bush bring his poll figures up. Is that what's happened here?
Well, what we've seen in this last 8 months is that the movement against the hate bill has enormously mushroomed from very small to very large this spring and early summer. But actually, if a person wanted to kill that protest to the hate bill, one of the best ways they could do would be to have the president promise to veto it, because the let George do it mentality seems to have prevailed in the religious right over the summer, and then has led, of course, to this collapse this last week. There are various factors working here. I believe there are people, perhaps around Bush, who would like to see the hate bill destroyed. He has these Jewish neocon advisors all around him and in the administration and so on. Now, I don't have proof of that. I don't have any proof about his advisors. I don't have any proof about George Bush himself. But I do have solid proof that for at least a 24-hour period on the eve of hate bill passage, the new right went absolutely silent of any kind of warning. Now, I'm going to name some names here. We're going to talk about Traditional Values Coalition. Their website was barren. Faith to Action was barren. Dobson's Focus on the Family was barren of any warning. Family Research Council was barren. American Family Association was barren. And I believe that quite a few others were also in the same category that we didn't investigate. But there was the word seems to have gotten out that there was going to be a fix, there was going to be a kibosh on any militant calls for action during that last day. Now, during that last day, we had a 24-hour window of opportunity in which literally, I believe, 3 million calls could have come into the Congress. In fact, the opposite happened. We found that during that period, we polled 38 senators, for example, on Wednesday. We found that there were still senators' offices who weren't receiving any calls.
Wow,
the average was from 5 to 50 calls a day on Wednesday. Now that might sound a lot. Got 50 calls? No, not considering you could have gotten millions of calls jamming the lines there, letting them know. And,
right.
And this set the stage, you see, for this total inaction on the part of the senators and the religious leaders.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't accidental, brother.
No, it
doesn't sound like it was accidental at all.
Oh, no. These religious right organizations, they have staff who are paid to do nothing but monitor, Focus on the Family, Family Research Council. That's what they send their fundraisers out for, is saying we're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to be guardians and watchmen on the wall. No, they knew exactly what was happening, and they were all working in concert to keep the American people from knowing what was happening. And then when it became fairly clear toward midday or late afternoon from Senator Reid that he would demand a vote the following morning, then they sprung into action when nothing could be done. This is outrageous.
Yeah,
I do have recent articles in which I lay down these charges at truthtellers.org. I'll be sending out another email alert tonight in which I again reprove these leaders and call for their confession and their repentance.
Okay, brother. And now real quick before you have to leave us, there's another bill we have to be very concerned about right now.
Yes.
First of all, we ought to keep pray that Bush somehow will, his skull and bones brain of his can do what's right and do veto this bill. But then we also have to be concerned about this other piece of legislation they're trying to sneak through right now, brother.
That's
ENDA, right?
Now ENDA is, almost as we speak, going to be introduced on the floor of the House. And we've been, obviously, everybody's been distracted with the hate bill passage, but ENDA is basically a hate crimes bill in the workplace, in which it forces employers, it forces landlords, et cetera, as
churches,
well as the church,
to hire
homosexuals.
Hire homosexuals, that's right.
Yeah. And it's especially threatening to the church because it forces the church to hire homosexuals in, quote-unquote, non-spiritual areas. And it gives a judge, a secular judge who might be a homosexual, the privileges to make a final opinion of what he thinks your spiritual outreach core values consist of.
Well, it puts the sinner enemy in the camp. It puts in the church.
Yeah,
if you have to hire homosexuals, they're going to be working against you as you try to uphold what God said in the Holy Bible.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the toll-free number to your U.S. representative, we're talking about the House of Representatives now,
right,
is 877-851-6437. That toll-free number to your member of the House is 877-851-6437. And then the toll number is 202-224-3121. 3121.
Okay, brother. Give that phone number one more time.
Yeah, the toll number is 202-224-3121.
Can you hang over, brother, or you got to take off?
Well, I think I'm going to have to take off, Jack.
Okay, well, God bless you. We love you, brother.
Okay.
Thanks for all you've done for all America.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program. I'm that old cop Jack McLam here with you. And very disturbing, folks, very disturbing. We were sold out by the Christian right, and they've got a plan to try to save George W. Bush's poll numbers, raise his poll numbers for this satanic president of ours. Absolutely amazing, folks, but... This New World Order Antichrist president of ours is still the darling of the Christian right. It's just absolutely amazing to see all the evil he's done, and still the Christian right is supporting him and believing in him. And when he said he's going to veto the hate crimes legislation, which he wants, you know that the neocon Trotskyite Zionists who run the White House and run the president and run the Congress and the Senate, they want this legislation, and so all Bush had to do is tell the Christian right so we don't get 2 to 3 million calls in there to the Senate to stop it, as we have every year, five times now we've stopped it, is to say that he, trust me, I'm going to veto it. And so the Christian conservatives and the new right just backed down and didn't call. So now we get to see, folks, now we get to see what this satanic president is going to do. Now, our brother Ted Pike believes that he will veto it because he wants his poll numbers to come up. Well, that makes sense if he's going to let this system go as it is. Okay, if he's going to let our system go as a nation and not put us under martial law and not do another false flag bombing in America to get you and me to accept martial law to protect us from our enemies, then that would make sense. But I believe, and a lot of our soldiers that I talk to and law enforcement people I talk to believe, that he is going to blow America up again, or try to. We're praying that God will bind his hands and confound him and destroy him if he tries. That's in the hands of our God if he allows him to do it. But if Bush's intentions are to go forward and he's to succeed in his intentions, he will blow America up again. And I'm not talking about him personally lighting the fuse, but I'm telling you his overlords that handle our puppet president and get him to dance to their tune are going to blow up America again, and this time a big one. We've heard so much from our intel people that it'll be 100 bombings at the same time across America, 100, and to scare all the American people into allowing three things to happen. The imposition of martial law, the destruction of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, put us under total totalitarian system here, military rule, and then getting us to allow them to go and bomb Iran and Syria, which will happen if they blame the 100 bombings on Iran and Syria, which they intend to do, and then the imposition of the universal draft. They want the universal draft in, so you will offer up your children to Moloch, the evil god Moloch, as you've been doing during the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, because this is a satanic movement to take over the whole Middle East, and your children are being offered up as the blood sacrifice to Moloch, their god. And and so this is going to happen after the next false flag bombing of America. You're going to be asked to offer up your children, and in the universal draft of both girls and boys this time. And so that's what's on the schedule for the Antichrist neocon Trotskyites that control the White House and the military today and the Senate and the House. And so will they do this? If they're going to do it, folks, then Bush has no reason to want to raise his poll numbers because he'll be dictator of America. Oh, by the way, the fourth thing is they want to cancel the next election under martial law, and they will cancel the next election under martial law and leave our girly man, boy George Bush, in there as dictator of America. He dances real fine to his overlords as a puppet, and so they'll leave him in. And so Reverend Ted Pike would be right if the Bush crime family and their overlords were not going to blow up America again and go through that scenario they want to do to put us under military rule. But so I don't know, but I guess it would be worth it, folks, to pray that the president does follow the word that he told the Christian right that he would veto this legislation, and it would be good if he would. Okay, so I guess our prayer should be that he would stick to that. I don't know how you pray for a satanic person to stick to his promise, but sounds kind of foolish, I know, but I guess we can pray to the Lord that somehow he will stick to his promise to these gullible Christian right leaders that he will veto this legislation. By the way, somebody called in and asked our producer if the people have to vote before they pass this ENDA, or the people have to go along with the ENDA bill that's up right now to allow homosexuals. You will have to hire homosexuals, and you can't discriminate against homosexuals at all. As a matter of fact, that's in our hate crimes legislation that just passed. And now with the ENDA program, you'll have to hire them anywhere, okay, in your church, in your home, if you wanted to hire babysitters or anybody. If a homosexual comes up, a pedophile comes up, homosexual pedophile, and wants to be hired as your babysitter, if you refuse, then you're going to be prosecuted, okay? And so, of course, you won't know that they're homosexual pedophiles, probably, but if one does come up, say, I'm a homosexual, you have to hire them, okay, under this legislation, or you go to jail. You'd be prosecuted, all right? So somebody asked, doesn't the people have to rally around it and say yes to that legislation before the Congress and the Senate approves it? And I said, of course not. Of course not. The Senate and the Congress are basically believe they're on their own unless we raise such cane and kick up sand by calling thousands and thousands of calls an hour. They're going to do what they want to do, and they don't care what the public thinks unless it means that they might be defeated in the next election. Then they care what the people think, okay? Okay, so that's about where we're at there. I'm constantly getting letters, praise God, from our soldiers and police officers. Here's one here I want to share with you. Here at our two police and military associations, a lot of our police and soldiers are waking up today, folks, to know that things are not right. They don't understand everything, but they know things are not right. Soldiers are writing to us and calling us and saying, hey, I'm here in Baghdad, and I'm killing people, and my brothers and sisters are being killed, all to bring freedom to the Iraqi people, and I hear we're losing our freedoms at home, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and everything. So they're really ticked off. But here's a police officer that just wrote to me, folks, and to show you what we do here at Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter on constitutional issues, and our sister organization, Police and Military Against the New World Order. This is our 27th year, at almost 28th year, 27th and a half year now, of helping our police officers and soldiers learn their constitutional oath asking them to stand up against unrighteousness and immoral activity and immoral orders that they're given, and say no to immoral orders and to unlawful orders that they're given. Here's a police officer, Mr. McLam. I'm a peace officer from Minnesota, and I wish to speak with you. I realize that you're very busy, a busy person, and cannot simply talk to everyone that emails you. By the way, I get 250 to 300 email a day. I do, however, have a need to talk to other police officers who believe that the New World Order exists, or at the minimum realize that there are a lot of unconstitutional things going on around us. I do not see myself remaining as a peace officer if I do not find a circle of like-minded people. I remember when I was a deputy sheriff in, and I'm not going to give away this guy's identity, so I'll leave out some of these things. A deputy sheriff in, and that's Middle America, by the way, receiving a copy of Operation Vampire Killer 2000 book, and reading that and found it to be interesting that people who took the same oath of office as I did, police officers, were able to bring these things to light. I'm undergoing my so many years of being a peace officer, and I am 40 years of age next month. Maybe it is my midlife crisis kicking in, and maybe it is finally bothering me so much that I have to participate in actively spreading the same message as you do. Please help me. Sincerely, I'll just say police officer in Minnesota, okay? In Minnesota, all right? He's giving me his phone number here, and I'm going to call him. We're going to talk. But, folks, this is happening. Praise God. More and more now, as our police and soldiers are beginning, and even those in management and in the officer status are calling us and writing us because they realize that this utopian New World Order is not going to be utopia for them and their families. They can now see and understand this is going to be a caste society, world society, of the super rich and the super poor. And they have finally figured it out that they're not going to be part of the super rich, and their children are not going to be part of the super rich. Super rich, folks, does not mean $1 million in your bank account. It doesn't mean $1 billion in your bank account. No, folks, super rich means $100 billion you control or you own, okay? That's what super rich means, $100 billion. It doesn't mean $4 billion. You're not part of the super rich. You're going to have that taken away from you, and you're going to be part of the super poor if you only have $4 billion. So this officer has realized that he's not going to be part of that, and he wants to fight. He wants to fight back against God's enemies and our nation's enemies. So I will call him, as I always do, and we'll discuss what he can do where he's at in Minnesota to try to fight the Antichrist world government system that's here upon us and the Antichrist leaders that are in the state houses and in the White House and the military leadership there. So good to know. Good to know, folks. Let's see. I want to get into something on the other side here. Well, maybe we can just start it now, but the Law of the Sea Treaty, folks, is a horrendous law that's coming up, the treaty that's coming up to be passed by our senators, okay? And we need to take action on this Law of the Sea Treaty, folks, because it's going to be horrendous for us in this nation. We're going to be taxed for it. We're going to be out of my paycheck, your paycheck, everybody's paycheck. We're going to be taxed to support this UN taking over 70% of the mass of the earth, which is our seas and our oceans. We're giving it over to the UN. It says here, the only Republican senator, conservative Republican senator, David Vitter from Louisiana, has been speaking out against the Law of the Sea Treaty. He's the only one, folks. The senator demonstrated on Thursday during a hearing in the UN's Law of the Sea Treaty that he is going to continue to do the job he was elected to do. Vitter's performance was so effective that he left State and Defense Department officials either speechless or caught up in embarrassing contradictions, lies in other words, about the impact of this international agreement on America's security and our sovereignty. It should now be perfectly obvious that the Bush administration officials, in collusion with liberal senators, are trying to bamboozle the Senate into quickly ratifying this very dangerous pact. One area of concern is how other nations and international lawyers could use the treaty against the U.S. in a backdoor effort to implement the unratified global warming treaty, which is a lie out of the pits of hell, with the result being higher gas prices for the American people and perhaps even energy rationing in this country. The Law of the Sea Treaty creates a tribunal and several bodies, including dispute resolution and arbitral panels to resolve conflicts which may arise from it. Same thing NAFTA did, folks. And you notice we lose every NAFTA complaint that we have. That's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it'll be with the Laws Sea Treaty. They're going to have these unconstitutional panels for dispute resolution at the UN, and guess who's going to lose every single time? The U.S. people, the United States people. Major parts of the treaty mandate international regulation of U.S. economic and industrial activities on land. That's right, folks. The Law of the Sea Treaty reaches on land. Major parts of the treaty mandate international regulation of U.S. economic and industrial activities on land. Greenhouse gases, for example, could be viewed under the terms of the treaty as contributing to the pollution of the oceans. Therefore, the UN will have control of our U.S. economy and the economic base and our industrial activities. Good old evil Negroponte caught in a lie. We'll be back, folks, in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte caught lying, which he does daily, just like our boy George Bush president. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte got caught in a big lie before the Senate. Do you think he'll be prosecuted for lying to the Senate, which is a very serious crime? Absolutely not, of course. Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte told the Senate committee that the UN body established by the treaty has no jurisdiction over marine pollution disputes involving land-based sources that we just talked about that are in the treaty, folks, that the UN will be able to come in and destroy, regulate the U.S. economic and industrial activities on land. But he lied, and he said, it's just not covered in the treaty. Negroponte's sidekick, U.S. State Department legal advisor, meaning a lousy attorney, John B. Bellinger III, said, it clearly does not allow regulation over land-based pollution sources, another big lie. He says that would stop at the water's edge. The U.N. would only control the seas and the oceans. But Senator Vitters, praise God, shot back and said, got to his feet and said, why is there a section entitled pollution from land-based sources in the treaty? Not only is there a section by that name, Vitter pointed out, but there's a section on enforcing that land-based source pollution. The section is Article 207, he said, pollution from land-based sources, it's called. Anybody can look it up, but apparently our top officials and lawyers have not. No, folks, they just flat lied. They know it's in there. Either that or they are trying to mislead the people about the ratification of this treaty. In either case, we are sunk if this treaty goes through. It was absolutely clear to anyone paying attention that Negroponte and Bellinger either had no real understanding of what was in the treaty, which is not true, or didn't want to tell the American people what was really in it. In the end, under withering fire from Senator Vitter, Bellinger insisted that the controversy was too technical to discuss at the hearing before the Senate, and that he would submit something in writing. And he runs out the door. Senator Jim Webb, chairing the hearing, suggested that he do so, attempting to save Bellinger from any further embarrassment with his lies. Our liberal media favoring this treaty will, of course, not bother to point out that one of the top brains in the State Department, an attorney, had been caught in the act of trying to mislead the U.S. Senate, lying to him, in other words. This wasn't the only exchange in which Senator Vitter caught Bush administration officials saying things that were totally untrue, in other words, lies. They won't use that word lie, folks. You notice that? They don't use the word lie. They always say, well, that might be untrue, okay? But actually, these are lies, folks. Senator Vitter caught them in evasions and obfuscations over the claim that the U.S. military and intelligence activities on the high seas cannot be restricted by the treaty, which is not true. U.S. officials are making that claim in a declaration in the Senate resolution of ratification. That is one of the 24 declarations or understandings being made by the U.S. for a treaty that administration witnesses repeatedly claim would provide legal certainty about what nations can and cannot do on the high seas. In other words, folks, what they're saying is here, they're saying that it would not affect the U.S. military and intelligence activities on the high seas, but they're lying once again. The treaty will control that. We'll be right back with more of this on the second hour, and then we'll open the phone lines up for calls, folks, if you'd like to call in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of this horrendous unconstitutional law of the sea treaty.